during our times of service, at least many of the services. If you're not a part of a growth group and would like to be, please do speak with someone. Or if you're not a part of a growth group and don't see how you can make that work, we do have the books available so that you can study on your own at home, should you so wish. Today's scripture comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I think that's so important we should read that yet again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. I'll see if this works. Shall I press the magic button? Oh, there. I like the scripture, don't you? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage our spirit and our soul, and affirm who we are in you today. Amen. Just as Seth shared, for those of you who are here for the first time, are not part of any growth group, this is an exciting study. So let's just dive right into it. The first few chapters of Galatians, Paul has been defending his gospel. And he's been saying to the Galatians, you have deserted my gospel. Because you have deserted my gospel, you are deserting the gospel of Christ. And then the second major section also of the letter, we see in chapter 3, chapter 4, we see that Paul, there's something special to Paul about this church. Very special, very dear, that he pour his heart in his in planting this church, seeing these foreigners come to faith in Christ. And that's exciting. And then he heard that some group of teachers have been visiting this church in Galatia and teaching them another gospel. We've been studying that. So Paul has been defending this gospel. And then, in 3 and 4, in his defense, Paul uses his own experience, the life-changing, transformation power of God in his own life. So he shared about his story of how this gospel transformed his life from being a radical fanatic into obedience and submission to Christ. And later on, there is a call for freedom from the law. So here in chapter 5, this verse that we just read, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is the heart of the message of Paul. Right here. And this verse is the key verse that fuses and breeds together every argument that was happening here in Galatians. And so, verse 5, this verse here, that it is for, this is, Paul divided this in two sections. One is the assertion, which is the declaration of faith. Our declaration, emancipation. And that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let's see if this works. Oh. Sorry. Another plug it. There we go. That's our declaration, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hey, I want us to do this together. I want us to read this together. You ready? Let's do it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So this one verse is divided into two. One is our declaration of freedom. We believe in that Christ has set us free. He is the liberator. We free us from the tyranny of the law and the freedom from the struggle to keep the law. Free from those conscious of guilt. There's something about the forgiveness of God. When God forgives us, it not only takes away our sin, there are two things that he did also. He removed our guilt, and he also removed our shame. Amen? That's a powerful thing. It is a good thing to be forgiven, but there is this guilty conscience. There is shame and feeling of unworthiness. And Paul here. And then there is a command in the same verse. It says, stand firm, Joelie. Do not let yourself, Joelie, do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So there is a declaration or assertion that this Christ, what he did for me, is the fact that I am free. I don't care what you think. Christ has set me free. And that's the assurance. Paul is saying here, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free from the guilt and the shame and legalism and other stuff. And then he said, you stand firm. Why is he saying stand firm? Because there is a possibility, if we are not careful, that we might be swayed again and finally find ourselves creating our own aspect of bondage. We were under the law, burdened by the demand of the law. And then Christ died for our disobedience, and he bore that condemnation that we have. This was placed on us, and he placed it upon himself. Then he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse himself. That's what Christ did. He took our place. Just turn here quickly. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says that Christ redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who is hung on the tree. He redeem us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. This chapter 5, remember the last few chapters, Paul has been arguing with these Judaizers, trying to convince the Galatians not to listen. He was really hard on them. He said, how dare, who bewitch you in all these words in the first few chapters? And then here in chapter 5, on verse 2, Paul, he came prepared. He relayed the circumstances of the Galatians, and then he prepared his theological argument about this. So he was really serious, Paul. This guy is amazing. His care for the church. So he came prepared. There's a writer, Hans Dieter Betz, he said that the attitude of Paul is that Paul mobilized his whole authority as an apostle to declare this to these guys. And he's gotten his argument towards circumcision and the law, and he's ready to present them as to why this is dangerous. And then we hear here, he speaks authoritatively. Let's just go there. Paul says, stand firm. Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then he followed up in verse 2, mark my words. Yeah. So that's a statement of someone who has come fully prepared. He said, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And then he said that I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await the Spirit of righteousness, which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, listen very carefully, is faith expressing itself through love. That's Paul's words. He said, mark my words. So he came prepared. And here he gave his theological reason. See, the slogan of the false teachers who've been teaching these guys, trying to sway them away from the faith that they have in Christ, to follow the law, then they will be really saved. That's the argument. They're saying that unless you follow the law, so what Jesus did on the cross, that's not enough. Okay? That's nice. You need to follow the law, talking about circumcision, in order to supplement your salvation. So in other words, he's saying to them, you have a part to play on your own initiative for your salvation and eternal life. You can do this and do this and do this and you'll have eternal life. Okay? That's good that you have faith in Christ, but it's not enough. That's the whole argument here in Galatians. And Paul is defending his argument, and in verse 5 and chapter 5, he comes prepared. And he has prepared the doctrine and the theology and the danger of moving astray to having faith in Christ alone. So he warns us here. I tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. That's a very powerful statement. And again, I declare to every man who let himself circumcise or follow the law, yeah, once you go in that direction, you have to go all the way. You cannot just fulfill one law and not fulfill the others. The moment you embrace the teaching of the Judaism, this is what he's saying, the moment you start doing good to earn your salvation, there are 600 more that you have to fulfill. Yeah? If you're going to go in that direction, then you are obligated. You're obligated to obey the whole law. So this is, it's pretty big to Paul. And it should be for us as believers. Yeah, for them to follow the law, they are saying that Moses, because the law were given by Moses, God gave Moses the law, that Moses must be allowed to finish what Christ has begun. That's why he was so strong here. For those who receive circumcision, you are therefore bound to keep the whole law. If you're going to go with the law, you have to keep the whole law. And in Acts, we see that Peter and the other elders, they were arguing in Jerusalem. They said, we can't even, you know, our forefathers can't even keep the law. We are bound to it. Oops. Christ will be of no value to you alienated from Christ, fallen away from grace. These are heavy words that Paul is using. Is big. To add the law as a supplement for eternity, you're saying, number one, that Christ died on the cross is not enough, and then you have play a part in your own salvation. So you cannot add circumcision or anything else in that matter. For Christ is necessary and he alone is the source of salvation. Christ is sufficient alone in himself. If we add anything else to Christ, we will lose him. Yeah? That we add and find something else as the source of our salvation, that Christ is not enough, Paul is saying, is warning them here. Be alienated from Christ. For in Christ, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Yeah? And that is one day we're going to be with Christ. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. By faith, we wait. And he's talking about future justification, that one day we are going to stand before God, that our assurance for eternity is not, I'm not sure, I don't know. If we can know for sure today through our faith in Christ Jesus of the hope that waits for us to spend eternity with Christ by putting our faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's the exhortation of Paul. There are many things that'll come our way. Challenges, pain, longing for breakthrough. But even as believers here on earth, that we can have that assurance, we can have that peace, even when things are not working out, even when there is, when we come into a season of less, of lacking, or a season of plenty, or we're praying for an open door for work or school or whatever situation, that assurance we have in Christ accompanies us here today. The Holy Spirit working in us. We read in Ephesians, our last studies, that God gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, himself in the person of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, yeah, as a mark that we belong to him. There's some questions here. Sometimes we leave that my own private life or family life is disconnected together with my faith in Christ. No, every day of our lives, this faith, this assurance that we who have faith in Christ, every day of our lives, we walk in that assurance and company, even in the midst of uncertainty. There is this peace that the Holy Spirit gives us. Not only here, but as we hope for that day. Sometimes, have you ever thought of that day? Have you ever thought of it? But that day begins here with us. God is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, is with us in a time of need, and is with us even in the time that we feel like that we are losing, our faith is weak. He's there to strengthen us. Two words, Paul says. Stand firm. Recognize that you are free. Is there something that we feel like we are bound to things? Paul knows what that is because he lived that life. He was a radical man, very loyal to his tradition. He fought for it. He's very zealous about it. But one thing is that he is more committed to, he was committed to his tradition than the glory of God. Cool verse, yeah? I want us to ponder on that. Am I really walking in my freedom? Am I thinking as a free man? Do I recognize the gravity of what Christ did for me? Do I try to do other things in order to impress God? Maybe if I pray harder, God will love me more. Maybe if I do this, God will bless me more. Maybe if I do this, this is going to happen more. God loves us. He loves you and I. He loves our children. He loves your friends, your relatives. And he wants them to experience also that freedom that we are experiencing today. Stand firm, all of us. Recognize what is it that is influencing you to move away. Now this is also, I will try to end with this. One thing about the Galatians here that stand out also, apart from all, is the influence of these people. Their influence on the people of Galatians, the church in Galatia. The people in Galatia, they were slaves. Some of them were former slaves themselves, so they know what is it to be bound. So, guard your influence. If there is any influence that we make, that our influence would draw people closer to Jesus and not away from Christ. And also guard the influence over your life and my life. We may not face what's going on here with the Galatians, but there are ideas. This is spiritual warfare in disguise. Even in Ephesians, he said, for our weapon is not carnal, but in the pulling down of any imagination and knowledge that rises above the knowledge of God. Amen. We are free. Christ has set us free. And that is in a word of exhortation. Stand firm. Stand firm today, stand firm tomorrow, stand firm this week, next month, and every year. Amen? And that's why I want to encourage us again, for those who are not part of any growth group, one of the Sundays we'll have the growth group lead our service so we can have a little taste of what happens in the growth group. Amen? I want us to start thinking, you know, who are the people around me that I'm walking with, that I walk with, that we pray together? And it's very important that we engage ourselves in healthy relationship that builds our faith every day. Amen. Are you bringing up this thing? No? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our salvation through your Son, our Lord and our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for the hope. We thank you for the reminder this morning. We bless your name. We honor you and glorify your name. Amen. I'm going to invite us so we can stand together in this declaration of